former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, Femi Abebefe, alongside Michael Lombardi. The first time we've done a Lombardi Line in person, buddy.
In person, yeah.
Let's get this thing going, huh?
Yeah, this is important. This is a great day. I mean, this is awesome. You were, I didn't see you at the window. Were you on Purdue or not?
I was not on Purdue.
Good for you.
Thankful for me, I was not on Purdue. I was sitting near some people. I think, I don't know if they had Purdue futures or maybe they were Purdue fans.
I can
fans.
Only imagine. What was it like in here when they,
oh my God,
I feel so bad.
I can't repeat verbatim what a guy said because there was a four-letter word in there, but it was, you got a guy who's 7'4", throw him the ball.
I mean, it's like a third grade team, right? You got one kid in third grade who's 6 foot. Like, yeah. How do you not win every game?
I don't understand.
They don't have a guy under 6'5", over 6'5", right?
It's truly remarkable. I mean, we're talking about the largest upset.
It's the great state of New Jersey. You just can't defeat it come tournament time. Look at St. Peter's last year.
It's in our blood. All goes back to the Garden State.
Yeah, everything goes right back to the Garden State. It's all your waste. Everything goes back there, you know. We take it all in, you know, the few, the proud, the free.
There we go. We're going to have a lot of fun over these next couple hours. Make sure to tweet at us, at VSiN Live on Twitter, at M Lombardi NFL is where you can find Michael, at Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. Coming up, we have four guests on the program. Tim Murray of VSiN Primetime and host of the College Basketball Betting Podcast will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get Tim's thoughts on last night's Madison including that upset of Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue. Carl Jig-Jag Johnson, sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage, in 45 minutes. How are bettors approaching the second round games, which will tip off in a couple of hours? We'll get that answer. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata, checks in at 8:15 Pacific time. Yeah. TG is as sharp as they come with the college hoops, and we're going to need a winner from him because after what we had last night, I think I went 0-5. So TG, get me out of the dumps here.
A lot of brackets are messed up. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember a 1 and a 2 being gone before the first round. I mean, that's
incredible.
Kind of remarkable. But I want to ask you, as you now that we're down, we've eliminated, we're down, we're going to get to the Sweet 16 by Sunday. Who are you going with? If you could re-bracket yourself again, knowing that Princeton was going to win, you know, knowing that Fairleigh Dickinson was going to win, all those things. Who are you re-bracketing with?
I'm still going with Houston.
Are you really?
I think I am. And the Marcus Sasser injury is concerning, but I still think Houston's defense and what Kelvin Sampson is a tournament-tested coach. He's made runs in the past. I think it's Houston's year going to the Final Four in Houston. Jim Nantz on the call. He went to Houston. It's all coming together. It's coming up Houston. We're going Cougs.
Is this Nantz? And this might be Nantz's last one. Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
So how about that, huh?
That would be an interesting tie to collect right there.
It would be.
It gives that tie out. Yeah.
It would be a lot
of
fun.
I didn't think about that one. That's a good one.
I'm going to go with the Houston Cougars, right? But the Sasser injury, that's a little concerning. Hopefully they can get through this. They got a tough game this afternoon here against Auburn. I think that's a tricky matchup. Played in Birmingham. There's going to be a lot of Auburn fans there, and Houston's a little bit banged up, so we'll see if they can get through that one. Also, then later on, in about 90 minutes, Jordan Schultz, NFL insider over at The Score, will join the show as we talk some NFL free agency. We're through the first week.
We're done free agency. Free agency's over. When guys start taking visits, it's over.
What do we call this period then? Is this
we call this go get a job period. This is go get a job. Like, this is where Drew Rosenhaus is really one of the best agents in football.
Uh-huh.
You know, because Drew is able to understand the market and he knows when the market's over and he makes deals and he sends the guys. He doesn't hold out for that extra 25 cents that may be coming around the corner. You know, like you take the Patriots sign Mike Gesicki. You know, Gesicki had hope that he was going to make this huge deal out there.
Didn't happen last year.
So finally he takes a deal where he gets incentive. Same thing. We're seeing a lot of guys, the safety market. Everybody thought, I mean, Atlanta paid Bates, but and then everybody else has kind of fallen in line. Julian Love thought he was going to get $12 million a year and he signs in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So this is go take a job time in the NFL. You better get one right now because what happens is the longer you wait and when teams draft a guy, all of a sudden, that draft pick, even though we know most draft picks don't make an impact, in April, every team thinks they make a huge impact. He's going to come in here and play right away.
Yeah.
And so they ignore the rookie. They ignore the veteran. They go with the rookie.
Yeah, especially on that cost-controlled contract. They're like, hey, we'll just deal with this guy instead of worrying about somebody who's trying to break the bank or so in free agency. We'll get to free agency talk coming up here shortly, but we have to react to what we saw last night in March Madness. Fairleigh Dickinson, you talked about it against Purdue. largest upset since 1985 in the tournament. 23-point underdogs, FDU, and they go ahead and beat Purdue. Well, I was in the sports book. People were chanting FDU all throughout the second half.
They have no clue, but they wanted to see history. Only me and Jason know where the hell it is. We're Jersey guys. They're the only two people that know where the hell it is. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, but when Maryland Baltimore beat Virginia, what was that line? That line wasn't.
That was 20.5.
Oh, wow.
This was 23.
Yeah. Look, not poor Matt Painter, but I mean, here's a guy who's built a hell of a program, but he just can't seem to get traction come tournament time, you know, and I'm sure everybody's going to call for his head, but I mean, his team's good, but at some point you got to win when you get in the dance, you got to dance.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that they've come up short so many times in these spots as big favorites. They put the graphic up during the game last night of, oh, Purdue, in the last 2 years, they've lost to a 13 seed and a 15 seed. It was North Texas a couple of years ago. Then, obviously, it was St. Peter's last year in the Sweet 16. And now you'd lose to a 16 to become the second number one seed to lose to a 16 seed last night. I don't know what it is, whether he gets tight or so, but I was over hanging out at the Westgate Sportsbook, and I was talking to folks around me. I said, if this gets to the under eight timeout in the second half, and this is still a close game, or FDU's even leading,
gonna get tight,
then Purdue's going to lose. They are going to get so incredibly tight. And we saw that there were bricking open threes. Guys started being scared to shoot the ball. It was one of those things to where I kind of relate it to quicksand. The harder you try, then like the quicker you're going to fail. And like they just got in over their heads. And all it takes is 40 minutes. Basketball games can be crazy. And they're going home after having a hell of a season.
You know, since February 1, the best team in the country has been Alabama. The second best team has been UCLA. Alabama, Brandon Miller, injury, we don't know. UCLA has injuries to their team. Houston's the number three team in the country in terms of all the numerical data. And then Tennessee. And Tennessee's got a huge challenge today.
They have injuries, too.
And they've got injuries. Gonzaga, for the first time, isn't the hunted one. This might be actually the time to really, you know, maybe they're embracing the role as the dog.
Yeah. It's almost like they're an afterthought.
Yeah. Connecticut, too. Look, they've done a great job. I mean, I thought Rick Pitino's comments when they were asking him about the St. John's job, you know, about how good his team was coming back next year. Now, you know, obviously he couldn't compete with Connecticut and all that. But to me, you know, that Iona's, he's hard to play, Pitino.
Yeah.
Connecticut was really good in that game. I mean, they look like they could. I mean, I could pencil them in. I mean, everybody we talk about is going to be penciled in because nobody's really confident. But to me, that was an impressive win.
Yeah, I took Iona yesterday with the points plus 10 because I was like, hey, this is Rick Pitino against Dan Hurley. And you think back, Dan Hurley, as much as Connecticut's been good this season, he has bad tournament history as well. A couple of first-round exits the last 2 years. Not super confident in a coach like Dan Hurley in this spot, but credit to his guy, especially in that second half. They absolutely just overwhelmed
Iona. I think this is what usually happens, what should happen when Purdue's playing Fairleigh Dickinson or when Iona plays UConn. The volume of play wears down the other team. Yeah. I think you saw it when you were watching St. Mary's play of Virginia VCU. Yep. You know, you could just see that St. Mary's was the better team. And they put the graphics up, and I think it was really kind of a perfect in-game betting situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, St. Mary's is 1-for-11 at the three-point line, right? You know, VCU shooting 55% from the field, right? They're down by a point. Like, when you see those numbers and the game's that tight, you know it's going to change.
Yeah.
You know it's going to change and shift. So that's the perfect opportunity to get in there and place a bet. So one of the things about basketball that you have to really pay close attention to is those halftime stats, because it comes back again. It's like you just don't shoot 55% from the floor the entire game.
No.
If you do, it's an outlier, right? So when you see a game like that that's tight and you know it, like you could just I was watching St. Mary's and VCU, and I just said, St. Mary's, eventually they take over. The talent eventually wears you down.
And also the way that they play the ball, they're so good and sound and protecting the basketball. When they get a lead on you, they're not going to do the stupid stuff to turn it over and let you get back into the game. They're going to methodically kind of pick you apart, and they did that with VCU in the second half, winning the game 63-51.
That's what drives me crazy about Arkansas. As much as I love Muss, and I love Muss, and I'm rooting for him today against Kansas.
So am I.
His team just is so sloppy with the – did you see the beginning of it, that game?
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like they were playing in a playground somewhere and nobody cared about the ball. Like, I was like, it would drive me crazy. Like, I was going nuts. Like, could somebody respect the ball here, please?
I mean, think about the ending of last night's game between FAU and Memphis. I mean, there was just all sorts of craziness going on. There was the jump ball that probably should have been a timeout given to Memphis. I thought Memphis got the short end of the stick on that one, because if they call that timeout, then FAU is going to have to foul them and all that. But then FAU goes ahead and takes the lead.
What a win for FAU, though. That's Will Hill's team. I mean, Will Hill's got him going to the Final Four, so that's a hell of a win for them.
He has him going to the Final Four?
He has him going to the Final Four.
And think about the path now. Now they just have to beat FDU to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
They're 13-point favorites in that game.
Florida Atlantic versus FDU. You can't even tell me the two towns those schools are from.
FAU, yeah, it's somewhere in Florida, I can tell you that.
Yeah, somewhere in Florida. Okay. See, that's another Sopranos episode. That's Boca they're in.
Yeah, they're in Boca? Okay. They're in
That's where Uncle Junior hangs out.
Yeah, well, that's where secrets come out of Boca, huh? TCU, they beat Arizona 72, or sorry, not Arizona State, beg my pardon, 72-70 last night. And this was a game from a live betting standpoint. Mike Miles Jr., TCU's best player, he leaves the game shortly with like a knee issue that he had going on, comes back into the game. He was the engine behind the comeback for the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, the Horned Frogs, I mean, look, that they were lucky to get back. They are a tough-minded team. There's no doubt about that. And so, you know, to get him back and the player to play like that, it was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no, the TCU-Gonzaga tomorrow night, it's going to be a war.
It'll be a fun game.
I can't wait for that one out there in Denver. We'll get to all the games from the second round, but on the other side, let's talk some NFL free agency. We're off and running here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. We're hanging out
here. I want the truth.
Yeah, you want the truth?
Have you bet Justin Fields' MVP ticket yet?
I have not. I told you when we were doing the pod.
You're going to do it. You know you are.
It's down to like 20 to 1, 25 to 1.
I know. You want it to go high? You don't like that odds?
I mean, that's way too
short. You think it's
going
to keep going down? You think there's more people like you out there? Come on. Remember, St. Jude's is a really, really good deal.
Hey, I have not donated my money yet.
I mean, St. Jude's is a really charitable. You get a deduction. You can do that. I mean, I urge you to do that. We had the president of St. Jude's on our show at Super Bowl time. I urge you to do it. But I know you're going to go down there. I know. Look, people are excited about the Bears. One thing about free agency that I don't think people understand, the Bears and the Falcons last year spent such little money, right, that they had to spend money this year.
To reach the floor.
To reach the floor. And so I'm not sure they got great value on those deals that they ended up paying for because they actually had to spend money. I mean, Jesse Bates, he doesn't make a lot of plays on the football. He's spending $16 million for a safety. Max Crosby doesn't make that. He rushes the passer. Like some of these moves don't make sense to me. Like, they don't make sense. You got a guy that's just, you know, you're paying a free safety. Like, I think the teams that let the free safety market kind of, like John Schneider, Julian Love's a true free safety. Middle of the field. He doesn't make a lot of plays on the ball. It tackles well, not a violent tackle, or which you can't be anymore in the league anyway. So, to me, that's kind of like what I saw as, okay, there's certain positions to let the market sink. And I think, you know, but Atlanta was going to pay Bates. They paid Omiyora. They had to pay guys.
Well, I guess
they paid some of their own offensive linemen, too.
Yeah, it was McGarry, and then, I mean, Lindstrom also got a big deal right as the league year was starting. Yep. So I guess they wanted to use that cap space to do other things and get a quarterback. They don't want to get a quarterback.
Which leads us to Lamar. Like, I don't understand
right
it. How can you be fully vested in Deshaun Watson last year? Fully vested. You know, and you're going to get Lamar last – I mean, excuse me, you're going to get Watson in Atlanta last year.
Mm-hmm.
Remember – Cleveland was eliminated from the conversation.
Yep.
It came back to, I believe it was Carolina and Atlanta were the two strong teams in the deal. And then Cleveland came in with a $250 fully guaranteed deal, which got them back in the contract, which got them back in. That's the only way they got back in. And yeah. Now this year, after a year of watching Marcus Mariota play, they're not interested. I mean, I don't understand it. Like, somebody explain the logic to me.
Riding with Ritter, apparently.
You watched Ritter. No, don't tell me you're on the Ritter train.
I am not. Okay. That's not a train.
There's so
that,
many
though.
Trains you're on. I have a hard time keeping track.
That is not a train that I am on. That one, if it leaves the station, I'll just go ahead and wave. Yeah, I'll wave them. I'll see you guys later.
That's the
good
that,
luck.
Yeah. I mean, my Lord. Like, I get nobody wants. I mean, it's a hard thing to do with Lamar because you got to deal with a lot of moving pieces. But I don't see, you know, this time of the year in free agency, there's very few teams that have cash now. Mm-hmm. Teams have kind of done their deals. Nobody's just lingering around with $150 million of guaranteed money to want to give away. This is going to take a Herculean effort to make a deal, and there's no agent involved. I know Lamar says he doesn't need one, but you do need one to kind of negotiate some of the things that you want to get done.
Yeah.
Maybe he settles back with Baltimore. I mean, it's his only option, I think.
I was going to say, let's continue to kind of talk about the layers here because you mentioned Lamar Jackson, how he talked about how he doesn't need an agent. He tweeted out earlier this week an offer that the Ravens gave him. It wasn't the official offer, but he just tweeted the facts and the figures. 3 years, $133 million fully guaranteed is what he tweeted that they offered him. I'm not sure as to when, but that's what Lamar went ahead and tweeted. From the Baltimore side of it, I guess what's going on in their front office right now? Are they just kind of sitting back and waiting to see if anybody calls them or if anybody goes out and tries to sign an offer sheet?
They can't negotiate. They can't get a deal done.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're going to have to wait and see what happens. I mean, they have the leverage because, I mean, typically don't you feel like this time when someone has an interest, like hypothetically, if you're interested in Lamar, you don't need permission to fly him in and visit with him. You don't need permission. He's a free agent. Yep. Now, it's going to cost you something. Now, I understand it would bring a lot of fanfare with the deal, but if you had any interest, would you? But one thing about the quarterback market, you can easily go through it. You know, the Bears have a ton of cap space. They're not interested. The Falcons have a ton of cap space. For some reason, they're not interested, right? Green Bay has moderate. Arizona, they're not interested. When you go through the list of the teams, they're not all the teams. The Colts would be the only team that you would say, what are they doing? You know, what are they going to do? Are they going to go after a quarterback, or are they going to stay at three and just pick whoever comes to them? Right now, all indications seem that way.
Well, because I'm thinking that with Indianapolis, who is picking fourth, if somebody were to jump ahead of them and trade with Arizona to get three, how do you not make the call to try to get Lamar? Because at this point, you're thinking about getting the fourth quarterback on the board. Would you rather have the fourth quarterback on the board, or would you rather have a 26-year-old former MVP quarterback?
I think if you're Chris Bauer and you're sitting in your office, you've already played this scenario. I'm at four. I don't know if you can go to two or not. I mean, Nick Cesario at the Houston Texans, he signs Case Keenum. He's got Davis Mills on his team, two backup quarterbacks. He's overloaded with backup quarterbacks. He needs a starter, so where's he going? You know, and so you got that situation. And then Arizona will certainly move down. There's no doubt in my mind Arizona is in play to move down. But who are you going to go up to? Now, we got to wait. I think maybe some of this action will take place once we see Bryce Young work out, once the medicals come back from Indianapolis, all that stuff kind of comes into play.
On the Baltimore side of things, though, like let's say they were to make a trade 3-4 weeks from now. A team calls them up. They work something out here. They trade Lamar Jackson for a first-round pick and some change. Isn't kind of the clock running out on them to try to find a quarterback for the future? Because Tyler Huntley, an okay player, can come in and be a spot starter, but they also would need to find some sort of some post-Lamar quarterback play to where I don't think they want to go ahead and have Huntley be their 17-game starter. At least that's not, like, I don't read that as the situations that they would have desired. They would want to at least have some sort of replacement for Lamar.
Well, where is he coming from?
Where
are you getting them from? There's nobody out there. It's like people ask the question, well, what happens with Rodgers? You know, if the Jets don't, if they don't get him, what happens? You know, there's a standoff right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, between Rodgers and the Jets, and I'm sure that, you know, the Jets are sitting there. Rodgers has pretty much done everything he needs to do to become a Jet. He's redone his contract. That's all agreed in principle. That's all there. right? So that all the thing that matters is how are we going to get this? And I think Murphy, the president of the Packers, Mark Murphy, I think he's got to make a decision on do I play this out or do I just get cave? I mean, everybody thinks that the Packers have all the leverage. In some sense, they have some. Mm-hmm. In another sense, you know, that at some point you're going to get something. It's like you're going to have to sell the house. It may not get your price, but you're going to sell your house. Your house is for sale. You're going to sell it, right? How much longer are you going to keep on to it? The draft will be a deadline. They got to use those picks.
What was the deal behind him speaking about Rodgers in past tense if he now wants to play this game of chicken? Like that to me makes no sense.
I think at the end of the day, the dynamic between when Murphy came in and went with Rodgers and a lot of people, I think everybody doesn't realize how powerful Mark Murphy is in that organization. And he is the power broker there. And I think that there's a lot of resentment between Rodgers and him. So I think the back and forth. I mean, when you listen to Rodgers on Pat McAfee, he was very clear, not clear. He was very clear in what his displeasure was directed towards if you understood the relationship.
Yeah.
And he never said Murphy's name, but you could read that name pretty loudly. You didn't have to be a guru. Yeah.
It was almost like Rodgers went on there as like a chance to say, hey, I love Green Bay. I love the fans. I love this, but they don't want to treat me well on the way out. It was a weird kind of interview there, but he definitely went in there with an intent to,
yeah,
in his eyes, quote unquote, clear the air, but we really knew what he was up to. And it was pretty much saying, Murphy,
to me is funny because like, I don't understand. This time last year, they redid the contract. They kissed, they made up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now what happened between... You know, now and then, that's what I have. Like, if I were the GM of the Packers, I'm like, okay, Aaron, we're doing this deal. You're here for 2 years. The other issue is, you know, in fairness, Rodgers is year to year. I think it's truly year to year. I don't think he's willing to commit to any team beyond next season. He's willing to commit to the Jets for 23. I don't think he's willing to commit to anybody past that. And that makes it hard, too. That's what I've said. We said this on the GM shuffle two weeks ago. Now people say it now, but, you know, but that's how the shuffle usually goes, is they want a first-round pick, plus they want a higher pick based on if he plays in 24. I think that's still where it is.
So we're talking about 13? The pick 13?
Yeah, they definitely want pick 13. I mean, then it came out they wanted two, or they're going to trade him. No, I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And maybe nothing happened to create this divorce, and maybe it's just the clock of Jordan Love. Packers need to pick up his fifth-year option this year, and
they're
probably
gonna
need
pick
to see
that
him
up,
play.
Yeah. That they will. I mean, they have to. They have no choice. I mean, they're fully vested in this.
All you need is love. All you need is Tim Murray. He's going to join us on the other side to talk some college hoops. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Our team is here to get you ready for every game in every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and tools like our exclusive betting splits. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas.
Tim Murray will be joining us. That voice that I just heard from Tim Murray is the voice of most bettors here in Las Vegas after the first round. Tim, how are you? I mean, I almost want to try to cheer you up. I mean, I got to get you therapy. We need to get you going here a little bit. You all right?
I'll give you guys a story. All right, so my son is on spring break. So my wife and my son went to Disneyland. They drove to Disneyland on Wednesday. And last night after VSiN primetime, I jumped in the car with my producer Britton, and we drove to the airport. And during that drive, I had Drake plus the three, and I got to witness Miami go on a 16-1 run to close out the game and win and cover. And then I get on the plane, a quick 45-minute flight to Los Angeles to meet up with my family. And I watch on that plane in horror, Memphis just hand the game away as I had Memphis not only to win, but I also took a flyer on them to win the region. And I was pretty excited because Fairleigh Dickinson pulled off the upset. So Michael, whatever you got, if you got something to cheer me up, let's make it happen.
Yeah, the only advice I'd have is I probably would not go near Mickey today because he might punch you in the mouth. Like, seriously. Like, I don't think I'd go near Mickey today. I'd stay away from the characters today down at Disney.
I'll go hang out with the – isn't there a Grumpy set?
Yeah,
I'd go
find Grumpy and Doc. You got to need some rehab, and you're going to need to stay there. That's about the best you're going to do today.
Apparently, it's not the happiest place on earth.
Not for Tim Murray.
Tim, it sounds like you're on the mend here with all the bets and everything, but I don't think there's anybody that's sadder than the Purdue Boilermaker fan base and what happened last night. You talked about it. Largest upset since 1985 in the tournament. They lose to Fairleigh Dickinson outright as 23-point favorites. Just the simple question is, where does Purdue go from here going forward? And also on the Fairleigh Dickinson side, do you think that they can continue this momentum into the second round against FAU, or does the clock strike midnight?
You know, we thought the clock was going to strike midnight a bunch last year with St. Peter's, and it didn't until the Elite Eight. You know, what Tobin Anderson, the head coach of Fairleigh Dickinson, has done and instilled in that team and is just remarkable. And there, I guess there's something, and this will put a smile on Michael's face, I think. I think there's just something about, I don't know, being a Cinderella in New Jersey.
Apparently. No doubt. It is. It's the Springsteen factor, Tim. Yeah, it's the Springsteen. Yeah. We're rising. We're always rising. We come up for the rising.
They just must be blasting Bruce Springsteen in all these locker rooms. But I don't know if they can pull this off again. But, hey, I doubted them. You know, it's funny, guys, because me and Matt Newmans were doing the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast, and Matt has got such a great read on Purdue because, you know, it's his alma mater, and, you know, either it's football or basketball. And he said, you need to bet against Purdue every round of this tournament. And I agreed. And then I got fooled when I'm thinking, well, Purdue's got a 7-4 center. This is the shortest team in college basketball. There's no way they could pull this off. But I don't know if it can keep rolling. Florida Atlantic is really impressive. And, you know, they were able to withstand, a Memphis team that I think is incredibly talented. So it's a big number, open 12. You know, I would imagine. Yeah, I'd be curious to see which way the public ultimately goes on Sunday, guys, because I think, you know, because of St. Peter's last year, I would think that the public is probably going to take a flyer again on a no-name school that they've never heard of from the state of New Jersey. So we'll see, but I tend to think the clock strikes midnight against Fairleigh Dickinson on Sunday.
How about Arkansas-Memphis today? Give us your breakdown. Like, I watch Arkansas, and, yeah, they're really talented. They're athletic. They're long. They're everything you want. But they're really not an Eric Musselman style of team. They're not really smart with the ball. They turn it over too much. They play great defense at times. But can they pull the upset? Can they be Cinderella in this bracket against the Jayhawks?
Well, I think talent alone, Michael, they can, because they have, you know, Black and Smith, who are two first-round picks. And, you know, the flashes that you see, let's just go back to the Illinois game. I mean, it feels like they're running away with that thing, and ultimately they did win comfortably and covered. But late in that game, to your point, they threw an alley-oop up 10 with like a minute and a half to go and missed it. They foul a guard going to the basket with like 17 seconds to go. I'm like, what is going on? You know, you're up 10, you know, you need to put that. So that always worries me when you're going up against the Kansas team, who, you know, is going to be the opposite of that. Kansas doesn't really have, I mean, who knows what Grady Dick could be eventually, but right now he's not a first round pick. Jalen Wilson's phenomenal talent, but I mean, what Bill Self has done this year, and obviously, you know, with the health scare, you know, hopefully everything's all right there with Bill Self. But what he's done this year, you know, losing six of his eight top scorers and losing two first-round picks, and now here we are again, they're a one seed. But I'll say this, Michael, on talent alone and the fact that Eric Musselman has taken back-to-back teams to the Elite Eight, it wouldn't surprise me if Arkansas put a scare into Kansas here. So I think the biggest thing and why I haven't taken the four, Michael, is what you said. What worries me is the mistakes and kind of just the, you know, I don't want to call it just the mistakes that they can make late in the game that can worry me against the Kansas team, who, you know, won't make those same mistakes.
We're speaking with Tim Murray here, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. Tim, let's talk about another number one seed Is Houston in trouble today against Auburn?
I don't know how you can bet Houston in this game, because normally, guys, I would love to bet Houston, right? They played so poorly, you know, I would expect a bounce-back effort. But here's a couple things that just terrify me. Marcus Sasser's clearly not healthy, and I was surprised that he played against Northern Kentucky, and then he seemed to re-aggravate that groin injury. And then, you know, Shedd, their other best player, he is dealing with a knee injury right now. So, you know, this is a team that Kelvin Sampson said after the game on Thursday night, hey, you know, we're dealing with a lot of injuries. And that team, I mean, they look like they lost against Northern Kentucky, the reaction that they had. I hadn't seen that team play that poorly all year, and that was pretty stunning to see that. Auburn's a team that, you know, is going to have the crowd on their side in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, I think I would imagine it's going to be interesting. Do Alabama fans want to see another number one go down, or do they cheer against their rival? I would think it's the former, because they want an easier path to a championship. So I think it's going to be a tricky environment. And, you know, it would be take the dog or pass in this spot, guys, for me, because Auburn's got some really good guard play.
Yeah. And if you look, if you were to re-bracket yourself as you're there roaming Disneyland and you're seeing Doc and you know, and Grumpy, who would you pick as who would you put now in your Final Four?
Final Four right now, I mean, you have to go Alabama. You know, Creighton, I thought, played well, but, you know, I'm not going to be saying that Creighton at this point after just one game. So if I'm going region by region at this point, after what we saw after one game, I'd say Alabama goes out of their region. It's either, I'll say this, in the East region, I think you can make an argument for a bunch of teams. Duke played really, really well against Oral Roberts. You have Kentucky, who you saw the glimpses yesterday against Providence, and then I thought Marquette played well. So I guess in the East, I would lean towards Marquette. You know, I think they're really defending right now, which is what Shaka wants. In the Houston region, I would take Texas, and then I would probably go after one game. I think it could be the winner of UCLA Gonzaga, but I'll say this, guys, you know, Ken Pom and these advanced numbers sites love UConn, and they were down at the half to Iona, and then that second half, I mean, they're down at the half at Iona, and they won by 24, and Hurley said after the game, he said, when our bigs are playing that way, they are unstoppable, and I can tell you what, here in Las Vegas, or where you guys are in Las Vegas, and I'll be back, you know, in a day, that Sweet 16, if it's UConn, Kansas, UCLA and Gonzaga. Wow. Get your popcorn ready. That will be a phenomenal Sweet 16. So in the West, I guess I would say right now, just because I still have my concerns about Clark and him not being with UCLA, I guess I would lean towards Gonzaga, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if UConn, if they play that well, their ceiling seems to be incredibly high, and they could be a team that could emerge out of that West region.
Yeah, I think Sanogo just got another putback dunk. As someone who was on Iona yesterday, I mean, he hit the three, and I was like, you know what? Whatever. I lose. He is Tim Murray, VSiN host on VSiN Primetime and of the College Basketball Betting Podcast.
Tim,
remember, it's the happiest place on earth, buddy. We'll win some bets today. We'll cheer it up, man. Thanks for joining us.
This is a place I need to be after yesterday.
You got
cheer
that
up,
right.
Tim.
Good stuff there from Tim Murray. We'll talk some more college hoops on the other side. Carl Jig Jack Johnson of the Beau Rivage joins the show next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's no better time to hit the court for exciting action in college basketball. Sign up with BetMGM using bonus code VSiN1000 and place your first bet on March matchups. If your wager loses, you'll still receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. Find out why March is the most magical month in sports and take your shot at thrilling tournament wins. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. U.S. promotional offers not available in Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, Washington, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Michael Lombardi here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino here. March, the most magical month. Maybe not for our last guest, Tim Murray. There, he's going to cheer up over at Disneyland.
Yeah, he'll cheer up if you're in Disney.
We'll be all good to go. A guy that's never in a bad mood, though, joining us now, Carl Jick-Jack Johnson, the sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage. Jick-Jack, hope all is well. Want to start with what we saw yesterday. A lot of favorites early on going ahead and winning and covering. How did you guys make out from the second day of the first round yesterday?
Yeah, so, you know, Femi, the first 2 days of the tournament have been really good for us. And what I mean by that is that we haven't won a whole lot. We made a little win the first day. We made a little win yesterday. And that's kind of good for us because it keeps the vibe of the room going. You know, I can remember a few years back at Mirage, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, the first 2 days of the March Madness, but we busted everybody, you know, and you lose the vibe of the room. And, you know, we're in the entertainment business. It just helps, the vibe helps the rest of the casino, you know. So good little steady wins for us, and we're happy with it.
Yeah, and so today you've got, you know, a lot of Southeast Conference teams going today. Auburn, Houston, huge game. I mean, what are you looking at that game? And especially since you're so close to the War Eagles campus there, you get a lot of Auburn money?
Yeah, we got some War Eagle fans in here today. We're at 5. We opened at 5.5. We're at 5.5. They hit the over from 131.5 to 132.5.
Wow.
And interesting, that's the only over that the Sharps hit. The rest of them, they hit the unders overnight. But Auburn's getting 75% of the money, 60% of the tickets. You know, Houston struggling with that injury. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. And one thing that we've got that Mattress Mack futures bet out there on Houston at 10-1 for 500,000 that we're trying to dodge that bullet. So, you know, from our point of view, we're hoping that we get some help from Auburn today.
That's shocking for me, Femi, because Tennessee's so good defensively, the third best defense in the country, you know, since really February 1st. I mean, it's UCLA, Alabama, Tennessee. I'm surprised the over's getting hit that much.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Maybe it's people want to bet on achievement, you know?
Yeah.
You don't go to the casino to bet against people, or at least most of the general public there is. We're speaking with Carl Jick-Jack Johnson, sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage. That Duke-Tennessee game is a really interesting one because Duke has played so well over the last month. They looked good again against Oral Roberts Thursday night. Laying 3.5, that total's at 128.5 here. How are they betting you guys in this one between the Blue Devils and the Volunteers?
Yeah, so we did open 3.5. We're still there. This is one of the totals that was not hit overnight. It's still at 128.5. Right now we're getting all Duke money, which is a little bit, I wasn't suspecting that. But 80% of the tickets, 80% of the money, 85% of the tickets are on the Blue Devils. And they have been playing good basketball for the last 3 weeks or to the month. Yeah, this ought to be a good one, too.
And so as you look at the slate, we also have Arkansas, Kansas, and we know Arkansas is really talented. We see this line moved a little bit, Femi, from 3.5 up to 4 today. Mm-hmm. Carl, where are you with this one?
As we came on, Mike, we're still at 3.5. This total went from 144.5 to 142.5, so they hit it pretty good. They're betting us Kansas. Kansas is getting all the money, all the tickets right now. I was listening to Timmy earlier. I think Arkansas can, they've got the talent on that squad. It's going to be interesting to see if they can keep this game close. I'm a little chalky today. Kansas is one of my plays today, but we'll see how it goes.
Wow.
Maryland and Alabama, the Tide look like the best team in the country, the number one seed, playing in Birmingham close to Tuscaloosa. They're laying 8.5 against the Terps. 143.5 is our total.
Yeah, the new home of Bill Berman, you know, Alabama, the Crimson Tide. I mean, yeah. You know, he's got interest in all of this stuff. Alabama's at right now we're at 8.5, and we went from 144.5 to 143.5. Alabama getting the money here, 60% of the money, 60% of the tickets. I like this team, you know, with Arizona getting knocked out, you know, I think this team, it's one of my Final Four teams, and I think they're going to get there.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you watch Maryland, I thought West Virginia had that game. They had the big lead, and then Maryland made that huge comeback to get back in it. But, you know, I think you're right, Carl. I mean, the tea leaves are reading really well for them. How about another team we haven't talked about, which I think has been a remarkable? That, you know, Chris Beard gets fired midway through the season. New coach comes in. This Texas team, you know, his team, which is being coached, it has been outstanding since February 1st, they're great. And then in March, they're the fourth best team in the country. Talk about Texas as they play today, Carl.
I like Texas. You know, Texas is another one of my Final Four teams. You know, and the good thing about that, you know, in that Midwest, you know, you got Houston dealing with some injuries. You know, in this game, we opened at 5.5, 140.5. We're still at 5.5, 138.5. So they hit that total under overnight. But interesting, Penn State is getting a little bit of the money here. They're getting about 52% of the money here, and they're getting a little bit bigger ticket count at 60% of the ticket count. Kind of interesting for me. You know, I kind of thought that, especially down here, that they would bet Texas a little stronger. But one of the things that I notice in college basketball as opposed to college football is that, you know, down here during football season, the guys are betting, you know, these regional teams more so than in college basketball. You know, these guys down here are not afraid to bet the UCLAs or the Dukes, stuff like that. So I think that's what we're kind of seeing here a little bit. They're going up north betting Penn State here, and it'll be a good one.
Yeah, Penn State looked really good against Texas A&M the other night. From a futures perspective, because I feel like oftentimes we lose sight of the futures markets once the games start happening, because everyone's talking about their brackets, they're talking about their bets. But how about the futures market? When you have an upset like Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue, what does that do for the rest of the favorites and kind of how their prices change? Because in that East region, some might argue that the path is now clear for a Duke to get to the Elite Eight, or maybe it's a Marquette that ends up being the beneficiary of Purdue going down early.
Yeah, you know, I think it favors both of them. In my bracket, it favors Marquette a whole lot. I had Memphis over Marquette. You know, one of the things that's happened in the last day or so is now Alabama is the odds-on favorite with us at 5-1 to win the national championship. Houston still at plus 550. But it has changed a little. You know, you'll see – and that's the game. You know, you try to make some of these other teams attractive to cover your liability. Now, for us, everybody knows that, I mean, that's all we've been talking about is our huge liability that we have on the University of Houston. So it's part of the game. We're trying to make these other teams look attractive. You got Kansas at 12-1, UCLA 10-1, Baylor 16-1. A lot of people on, a lot of smart money on UConn. You can get them at 16-1, and Marquette's a good buy at 16-1. So, yeah, it does affect it.
All right, Carl, what's on the menu today? What do we got? What do we got down there today? Because it's a long day now. You're going to have to plan this out. You got to pace yourself here. Unlike Berman yesterday on St. Paddy's Day, you got to pace yourself.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I'll be honest with you, and this is going to sound odd for me, but food has not been on my mind the last couple of days. Now, what I did last night is I went home and got like 3 double cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and I scarfed them down. Yeah, it'll be a couple of beers this afternoon and something to eat and a bunch of it.
Wow, that's the first right there. That's a first. I mean, my man's not having anything to eat. That's a first.
Yeah,
he usually plans his day around that menu.
That's how you know the madness is real.
Yeah, exactly.
He is Carl Jig Jack Johnson.
We need therapists in here. Murray, now him.
We're going to get on the right side. Hour number 2, Lombardi Line coming up next.